Won't it be wonderful there?
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind that it will be wonderful there. Sad to say that there are a whole lot of people that will not get there. And one reason is because they do not believe that there is such a place. And it's going to be a rude awakening on that last day when all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what they've done in his body, whether good or whether bad. As we come together on this morning, thanking God once again for all that he has done for us, that we may continue to worship him in spirit and in truth. In his time, there have been many a day where we have asked God for something and we have not waited upon him. We've tried to rush things. I read posts from time to time, people asking God for a soulmate, whether it be a husband or a wife, asking God for children, asking God for a good job, a nice place to live, a nice automobile, all these different things. We hear people ask for, or we read where they're asking for these things. And there are times where men just get tired of waiting on God. And I believe that they do not, well, it's not a believe, it's a no, that they do not understand that God does not operate on man's time. God operates on his time. And we all are on borrowed time. And we need to realize that we need to give him some time. And that time that we need to give him is studying his word, learning what he desires of each one of us. And we find those things to be true according to his word, we need to wait on him. You're asking him for something. He'll give it to you if it's his will. We just have to wait. We go through many things in this life as it has been read there in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, again with verse 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes and the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That word steadfastness is dealing with patience. And we need patience. And again, he says, and let steadfastness or let patience have its full effect. See, a lot of times when we are, and let me just use this illustration for you. We're in a convenience store. And we're there at the fountain drink, and we're filling up our big cup with some Big Red or Dr. Pepper or Coke or whatever drink that you like. And we're sitting there and we're filling it up. And as it fills up, you get more foam than drink. And so what you do, you don't want to wait till that foam goes down. So what you do is you start slurping off the foam. And once you slurp it to a certain level there, you put the cup back up under there. I went through this stage in my life, and which wasn't too long ago, where I was doing that, and I was like, is that stealing or not? And so what I did, I went and asked the cashier, and she said, well, no, go ahead, let it do that, and, you know, fill it back up until it's topped off. We don't have patience, do we? To wait on something like that for the foam to go down and to then fill it up to where you want it, your desired effect there, and then put the top on it. And some of y'all, you know, still put the top on it and soda just go everywhere because, again, you're trying to fill it too full. But patience is something that each one of us needs. We need it. And God says we can have it if we would just wait on Him. Wait on Him. In His time, patience, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Wow. Patience. How many have had their patience tried lately? You ever use the phrase, you know, my patience is wearing thin. You're getting on my last nerve. Have you ever used that phrase or had that phrase used towards you because someone's patience was running out? How many of your patience has really ran out? You know what that means? If your patience run out, it's like your automobile running out of gas. It stops. It stops. Well, when you look at this definition, if you're allowing your patience to run out, you will get angry. You will get upset. And what are you going to do then? What are you going to do? Many times we venture off into sin because our patience is not what God wanted to be. Our patience is not what it needs to be. And so we need to understand once again, as we look at this and think about it, that our patience, it should revolve around His time. The time that God has given us, that's where we need to look. And that's where we need to say, I can wait. I can wait. I have patience enough to wait. I'm going to be steadfast in what I desire and what I ask from God. But as we look at this and think about it, in our patience, it develops hope. It gives us the ability to ask for something and hope for that thing and know that God will bring it to pass. In Psalm 62, starting with the first verse, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack the man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. In verse 5, for God alone, oh my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from Him. Waiting patiently in silence. You're asking God for direction. You're asking God for comfort. You're asking God to protect you. But you know what we do? A lot of times when we're asking for those things, we go out and we do things on our own. You're asking God for protection, but while you're asking Him for protection, you already have in your mind, I'm going out there and I'm going to get me this weapon in order to protect myself. Where's your hope? Where is your patience? Waiting on God. You know, a lot of times we think that God needs our help. God does not need our help. If you're asking Him for something, and if that something is something that's within the will that He has stated in His Word, He's going to give it to you. Why not just wait on Him? Again, we go back and we think about this patience, you know, waiting on God. There's about 100 scriptures that talk about patience in God's word, dealing with this thing or that thing, from marriage to childbirth to a person going out working, all sorts of things. Patience. And people are asking God for patience or for something, but yet they're going to do their own thing because they don't want to wait on Him. And a lot of times you find yourself in trouble. And that's not what God wants. God doesn't want trouble for us. Yeah, we're going to go through troubles, through different kinds of tribulation in this world, in this life. But we still need to wait on God because He is there waiting on us to do what is right, because he's long-suffering. He's patient with us. So we need to be patient with others. We need to be patient in what we're going through. Quit depending upon man and start depending upon God. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to start with the first verse. Exodus 14, starting with the first verse. As the children of Israel are being led by God out of bondage from Pharaoh and his army, we'll start up in 13 and then we'll come down. We're going to start with verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people or from before the people. This is God again, leading His people. Have you ever been following someone and you got impatient and you went around them just to find out that when you get to a certain point that you have to wait on them? Because you didn't know the way. That happens a lot. In life, that happens a lot. So we need to develop patience, that we need to wait on whoever is guiding us. And here the Lord is guiding them by day and by night. And it says in chapter 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-Harath, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal-Zephon, and shall encamp facing it by the sea. Now this is the word of the Lord to Moses to give to the people. If you find that God has told you to do something, your best bet is to do it. He says there, in verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You know, many times when we're up against our enemy, and we know what the plan is, but what we do is we want to deviate from it. We want to try a different tactic. God is telling the people right here what to do. And He is telling them what He is going to do. He said, I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts. I will get glory. It's not for you to get it. It's for God to get it. The battle has already been won. All we have to do is do what God tells us to do. Are we willing to do it? That's what we're running up against right here. You think that the children of Israel, do you think that they're ready to do what God wants them to do? Let's keep reading and find out. It says in verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, what is this we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us. So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots of the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camp by the sea, by Phi-Haroth in front of Baal-Zephon. And Pharaoh drew near. The people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They feared. God had already told Moses what to tell the people. The people heard this. They did what they were supposed to. But when they seen Pharaoh's army coming, they feared greatly. If God tells us to do something and we do it, what do we have to worry about? Absolutely nothing. That's what we need to get in our heads today. Just as it had to be drilled in the heads of his people here in Exodus chapter 14. He says there in verse 11, they said to Moses, "It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness." God protected us while we were in Egypt. He didn't let us die there. But now we're going to pay for that. Look what the Bible says. "What have you done to bring us? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt?" Verse 12, "Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." You're talking about needing patience. They need patience right here. They need to do what God told them to do, and they need to wait on him. They need to be still. God said, "Wait right here." You know, you ever told your child, "Wait right here and I'll be right back for you"? You know, in the grocery store, you see little children running around crying, looking for their mom and dad, and their mom and dad are over there where they told them to be, and the child is not there. The child is on the other side of the store. Now they got an announcement on, "Hey, has someone lost a little child in a red dress, or a little boy in this, that, and the other?" The child did not wait on that parent. Got tired of waiting and started wandering around. That's us from time to time. We get tired of waiting and we start wandering around. We quit being still and we start moving. We're not where God wants us to be. But we need to get there, don't we? We need to backtrack sometime. I don't want you to go backwards, but we need to backtrack sometime, and we need to get right back where God told us to be. He says as we continue in verse 12, "Is not this again what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again." You should never see again. Wow. These very people that you were slaves to, he said, you will never see them again. That's a good thing, isn't it? You don't have to worry about being in bondage to them anymore. That's what the Lord is telling them. And they need to listen to the Lord. And it says in verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." You don't have to say a word. All you have to do is do what I tell you to do. That's what it boils down to. Can we realize that today? That many times we want to get involved in something where God has told us, "Depend upon me. Rest right here." The battle, again, has already been fought. All you have to do is just wait. Look and see what the outcome is going to be. God is going to get the victory. The Bible says in verse 15, "And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Here you are. I told you what to do. You stay right here. And now you're crying to me. I already told you. I've shown you. I've led you by day. I led you by night. I brought you this far. You think I brought you this far to leave you? That's not our God, is it? If he's going to take us somewhere, he's going to take us all the way. He's not like us. How far do you want to go? And that's where you put them out at, where they say they want to go. Maybe they have another piece to go. God will never leave us. He's going to take us all the way. And if you will read the rest of the story, you will find that God led them on dry land after the Red Sea was parted. They walked over on dry land, and Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the Red Sea. We need to understand that we need to wait on God. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll open doors that no one can shut. And he'll shut doors that no one can open. Yeah, we may be going through some trying times right now. But you know what? It's still in his time. All we have to do is wait. Wait, wait, wait. We get tired of waiting, don't we? What's the old phrase? Wait is what broke the wagon down. See, you need to go back and you need to look at that. You need to go back and understand what type of wait we're talking about. We're talking about waiting on God. Stop doing what you're doing and just wait on God. You know, I tell Dante and Justin the same. I'm talking to them and before I finish, they both already got a solution to the problem. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And that's okay from time to time. But we need to understand that when God tells us something, we need to be quiet and we need to listen to him. We need to listen to what he has to say, because this direction right here, this is the best direction that we can ever have. From God's word, looking at what he says and doing what he tells us to do. Are you willing to do that today? Maybe we are like Paul. Maybe we have something that we're going through in this life, or something that's affecting us in this life, in our weaknesses. We're saying, you know, God, I just can't do this anymore. Look, Lord, I'm having these problems and I need these problems to stop right now. If you have not heard the sermon, A Storm Is Coming, I want you to go and I want you to look that sermon up on the website. I want you to listen to it, because I want us to understand something. A lot of times when we're in a storm, we're not necessarily going to get through that storm. A lot of times we have to stay in that storm and we have to learn how to endure the storm. And once we learn that, maybe, just maybe, God will let us out of it. But if he don't, oh well, stay there. Keep doing what you're doing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In his time. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. And when we can rest in what he says, everything will be okay. Everything will be okay according to his will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, I'm going to stop right there just for a moment. How many of us need something to be given to us so that we will not be puffed up? How many of us need something to happen to us so that we may realize that it's not about us, but it's about God? I would say many of us need that. Many of us need to fall from our pedestals. Many of us need to understand that God is in control. Many of us need to understand that we need to wait on Him. Paul says there in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, if there is something that is happening with you that is making you realize how weak you are, but this weakness is only to better you, to draw you closer to God, to allow you to lean more upon Him, less of me and more of thee, that's what we should all be saying. Lord, I'm going to wait on you. Lord, I thank you for whatever is going on in my life, for the trials and tribulations, because I know that they could only make me stronger once I learn how to endure them. Not get through them, but endure them. See, we need patience. We need patience in our weaknesses. And you know, as we think about having patience in our weaknesses, we need to understand again that God can make us strong, that we draw strength from Him. If we go to the book of Isaiah, and the chapter is 40. Isaiah in the chapter is 40. God is willing to comfort His people. God is willing to allow His people to understand how steadfast His word is. God is willing to bring us through whatever we're going through in this life, so that we may realize to give Him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. God is willing to do that. Are we willing to accept that? In verse 26 of Isaiah chapter 40, he said, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mourn, or they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Why? Again, go back to verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. This is our God. How does this happen? It happens by us waiting on Him. We're not taking any shortcuts. We're doing what we're supposed to do. Waiting That's what he is telling the children of Israel right here. Wait, wait. Verse 30 again, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord. You ever been running a race? And as you're running that race, there are people beside you. There are people in front of you. There are people behind you. When you look to the side, they're not there any longer. When you look in front, they're not in front of you anymore. When you look behind you, they're even dropped out as well, but you're still running. You know why you're still running? Because you have trained for that run. You have done what you were supposed to do to get ready for that run. And as you started that run, you paced yourself. You paced yourself so that you may finish the course. When we started this Christian journey, we started it with the intent of finishing. We started it with the intent of knowing that God was going to direct us. Well, we didn't realize so many times that God was going to tell us to wait. Be still. You need to go back and you need to fix what you messed up back there. We didn't know that because those things were not told to us when we're sitting down with someone and we're studying the Word of God to learn how to be a Christian. The main thing that we understand is that God gave us His Son and that we need to confess that His Son is truly His and that we need to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. What we need to be telling people along with that is that you're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulations. But trust in God. Wait on Him. Patiently. Don't try to rush things. Yeah, I was telling someone just yesterday, I do believe it was, and even the day before, one day at a time. One day at a time. Do you know what the importance is of one day at a time? Or why we don't ever tell people, why don't you take 2 days at a time? It's impossible. You can't do it. You know, we take one step at a time. Yeah, we may take a giant step, which some people say that counts as two, but it's still just one step. One foot in front of the other. We need to spend more time with God. Because again, everything is in His time. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Man and animals along with that. In 6 days. God did that in His time. The seventh day, He rested. There are many times where we just need to rest. I'm not talking about resting on the Sabbath. I'm talking about we need to rest. We need to be still. We need to wait on God. But before you do all of that, you know what you need to do? You need to talk to God. You need to talk to Him. You need to study His Word. And as you talk to Him, you ask Him for direction. Because we need direction. We need to know how to go in. And we need to know how to go out. And He gives us that direction right here in His Word. He watches over us. When we lay down, He watches us. When we get up, He watches us. When we're doing wrong, He's watching us. When we're doing right, He watches us. And what He's really waiting on, it's not just you and myself to do what's right, but He's waiting on others as well to turn to Him and rely on Him. We prepare for a whole lot of things. What we need to be preparing for today is for the great day. Waiting on that day. We can't rush it. You know, there are some people that said, Lord, I'm doing right now. Take me. No. I want to see what you're going to do tomorrow. I know how you're feeling right now, but it's not your time. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow may be your time. Who knows? But what we have to do is we have to prepare for that day. How do we prepare for it? We study. We study. 2 Timothy 2:15, we study to show ourselves approved unto Him, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We study. We study about things in His time. We study about hope. We study about being still. We study about weaknesses. We study about strengths. We study these things because these things are important in our salvation to get us where God wants us to be. So all the troubles that you're having, all the obstacles that are in your way, don't ask God to remove them. Ask Him for the strength in order to conquer them. And maybe you get halfway up and you slide down. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going until you get to the top. And when you get to the top, a lot of times what happens, you're so exhausted, you roll down on the other side. You know what you need to do? You need to get up. You need to climb back up. Do it again. God will be with you. Continue to trust in Him. Continue to do what you're supposed to do. Rely on Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not one of His children. Maybe you're tired of, you know, waiting on Him. But you're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on you. You're not one of His. When there's children, when something is coming after someone's child, and there's a group of children on the playground, you know what child they're going to rescue? They're going to rescue their own child. Everyone else is left to their own. God takes care of His children. Are you one of His? Are you one of His? If you're not one of His, become one of His. Come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in a watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. But realizing that once you become one of His children, that you're going to have troubles. Your troubles may be great, you know, greater than the troubles you had before, which they're probably really not. You just didn't realize that you was in trouble because Satan had you right where he wanted you, making you think that everything was good. No, everything is not good outside of Christ. But in Christ, things are good. Troubles, we're going to have them, but we can overcome them, trusting in God. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back, asking you to make a confession of your sins, getting your life right with Him, and then waiting on Him. Quit rushing things. Quit looking for that person and say, well, you know, I've been looking for a spouse and I'm tired of looking. I'm just going to pick me somebody. You need to wait on God. Maybe God has already sent that person towards you or your way and you just ignored that person. You know, sometimes we have to know that's our ride right there and we need to get in it and we need to ride. Waiting on God is something that we just have to learn how to do. Looking for that answer, whether that answer is yes, no, or wait. We need to accept it because, again, it's in His time. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation. Maybe you're an alien sinner. You need to come to Christ. You need to put Christ on. Do so. Maybe you're an erring sinner. And you know, an erring saint. And you need to come to Christ. And you need to make that confession. Do so. Because tomorrow is not promised. Let's do what's right before Him. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.